morning, sir, and you're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Commission for your revocation hearing on the one allegation on your warrant. And may we begin by you stating your name and your ADC number for the record, sir?
My name is Robert Blake, and my ADC number is 328576.
Okay, thank you, sir. And welcome to the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. And based on information that we have, we was notified of this hearing back on March the 19th of this year. Do you remember that notification, sir?
Not really, but so I know I had
stated that the hearing would be held today.
Yes.
Okay, and on that, among other things, it stated that you could obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense to represent you. We don't see a lawyer in the room, therefore may I assume that you're going to represent yourself today, sir?
Yes, I guess I'm SMI, so okay. I'm not too, yes.
Okay, well, I'll go slow, and so if at any point when we say something and you don't understand it, please let me know, sir. Just say, I don't understand it, and then we can kind of move it forward, sir. Okay, sir. You cannot see us today because we are doing this by phone. However, we do have three board members in the room participating in your hearing. I want to introduce them to you by name. And they are the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, the Honorable Mr. Louis Kowanis, and my name is C.T. Wright. I'm going to serve as your chair of your hearing. We also have in the room with us today but the Honorable Mr. Turner. Mr. Turner is representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Now I need to swear you in, Mr. Blake and Mr. Turner. Do both of you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, to help you God and do you so affirm? Mr. Blake?
I do.
And Mr. Turner?
I do.
Thanks both of you. Okay, sir, I do take note, and I hope you remember this, or maybe you don't remember this, it was your situation, that you did have your probable cause hearing on March the 8th of this year. Do you remember that? They did it by telephone. Do you remember speaking with the probable cause officer at that time, sir?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, and he had a finding, his finding, as a result of that hearing would have been that you violated the condition of release and had lapsed or is probably about to lapse into criminal ways or company. What that means is that he has already completed the information that we would ordinarily gain on the phase two of your hearing. Therefore, now I'm going to make a motion so we can go into phase two of your hearing and we can have a discussion and you can talk to the board, sir. And my motion is going to be to find that Mr. Blake violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he was delinquent, that he had or may have lapsed into criminal ways or company. That is my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, C.T. Wright, seconded by the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed by the Honorable Mr. Kowanis. Now, sir, the board is going into phase two of your hearing. We're going to phase two, we're going to get some background information on you, and then we're going to come back and talk to you and let you talk to the board. You understand, sir?
Yes.
Okay, so just hold on. Now we're going to get some background information from the Honorable Mr. Turner. Mr. Turner, sir.
Yes, sir. Blake was released from ADC custody on 12-14-2018 and arrested on 2-11-2019 by ADC. No new charges are noted. He is returned back to ADC custody on 2-11-2019 with an adjusted CSED of 6-12-2019 with 59 abscondes. Current conviction, 2015 drug paraphernalia violation, 1 year. 2018 disorderly conduct, 1 year. He has no prior convictions. This is his first term in ADC with a CUIR score of 2-1. Mental health score of 3. Substance abuse score of 2. No STG information is noted, and there's no prior terms on supervision. Disciplinary is minimal. Other arrest, 2003, misconduct involving weapons, New Mexico, felony conviction, state prison. Is a GV score of G1, V2.
Okay, thank you so very, very much, Honorable Mr. Turner. And now, sir, I'm going to look very briefly at what we call the case supervision summary, which is very short, which says that defendant never reported to, for his initial intake. So what happened when you were released? You never went anywhere, so what happened? So what were you doing, sir?
When I got released, I took the shuttle van with a bunch of guys that got out with me to Phoenix, and some guys stole my backpack when I was at the store getting a soda, and I got suicidal, and I went to, they came and picked me up, and they took me to St. Luke's Hospital, and I was there for about 3 weeks, and then they transferred me to St., they transferred me to St. Luke's to urgent psychiatric care, and I was there for like 3 weeks. Then they transferred me from there to Aurora Behavioral Health, and I stayed there a month, and then they transferred me from there and let me out. And right after I got out, less than an hour or two, I felt bad and wanted to kill myself, and then they sent me to Banner Hospital. And then I went from Banner Hospital when I got out to the parole office. And I called them, my probation officer. I called him each time I was at a hospital. I called him from there because the caseworker got the number.
Okay. Now, sir, while you were going to these various places, these various institutions and hospitals, did they provide you with any medication, sir?
Yes, they would give me medication, prescriptions, and sometimes medication. But I take lithium, 350 milligrams twice a day. I take Zoloft twice a day, 25 milligrams. I take Zyprexa, 10 milligrams twice a day. And Risperdal, I take at night. Most of the medications are...
Are you still taking those medications now since you've been back in prison, sir, since you've been back incarcerated?
Yes.
And are they working?
Yes. I just need to stay on them, and I got a new... it's like a caseworker I have now that they'll take me to all my doctor's appointments and psych appointments, and you know, for my prostate cancer, they'll take me to the hospital for that too, because they won't treat me in prison now because they said I'm too short. I only have till June 12th to get out.
But they do take you to get a treatment now, sir, while you're in prison.
Yes, I'm getting treatment, but they don't have any counselors for me to talk to.
Okay, but they do carry you to the hospital or somewhere for your prostate situation?
No, they can't do anything for me. I'm too short a time.
You're too short because you'll be out in June, so you don't get
June
nothing. June 12th, so they don't give you any... a treatment at all at this particular time, sir.
No, sir.
But you still have your medication from when you were out, sir, before you were reincarcerated?
No, I don't.
You're not taking any medication now, sir?
No, they just give me Flomax to help me urinate.
Okay. But what about you? Have you thought about committing suicide again, sir?
No, not since I'm here, because I don't want to be placed in that room like they did before.
Okay, so they placed you in a room before, and...
it's not a nice place to be.
Okay, therefore, but you don't think about killing yourself. You don't think about committing suicide anymore, sir.
No, sir.
Okay, so now when you get out, sir, what are you going to do now? I do take note in looking at some information that we have, that they did attempt to contact your... emergency contact, that was Jeanne Blake, but they were unsuccessful. So who's Miss Blake? Who's that? That's your mother?
That's my sister.
That's your sister. So where's your sister at, sir?
She's in Chandler, Arizona. Her committed suicide a year ago. So it's been really hard for our family. We buried 18 family members in 3 years, and 9 went to suicides between the ages of 17 and 28.
Okay, sir.
I'm
really sorry to hear that. You really caught me by surprise, and please accept my personal as well as the board's condolences for what has happened in your family, sir. And
it makes me really sad.
And please don't let that happen to you, sir. I believe you said I was 18, and 9 of them were because of suicide. So that's really something that that I hope that you made up your mind that you're not going to do that. So when you get out, when we let you out now, you get out in June. Now, what do you plan to do? What do you plan to do, sir?
There's a halfway house my sister paid for called New Solutions, and it's paid for up to 6 weeks for me to stay there. It's a recovery home where you go to AA meetings and NA meetings every day, twice a day, and they're mandatory, and then you go out and they have jobs available for you to work.
Now, at that halfway house that you're talking about, would you be living there at night, and they bring you back at night, or do you live somewhere else, sir?
No, you live there, and they provide meals, breakfast and dinner, and you have a curfew of 8 o'clock. Typically, everybody comes back at 5 o'clock to eat, and then we have an on-property meeting for Alcoholics Anonymous every night at 6 o'clock.
Now, have you been there before, sir?
Yes, I have.
Okay. And how did it work out for you when you were there before?
It was okay. I liked it. That's why my sister looked it up and found it online and paid everything. She's in Gilbert, Arizona, and my brother's in Chandler, Arizona. He works at Intel, and my mother moved here from New York once I got in trouble. So my mother's here, and she's also in Chandler, Arizona.
Okay. Now, since you've been incarcerated, do either one of them come to see you, your brother, your sister, your mother? Have any of them been by to see you, sir?
No, they write me.
Oh, they write you. Okay.
We're down in Yuma,
yes,
and they all work.
Yes, sir.
My sister works for the state of Arizona and subcontracts for the city of Phoenix to maintain all the IT problems that they have. Okay. She has a master's in computer technology.
Okay, sir. Now, you said, and then I think this is my last question for right now, you said that if you go to that halfway house, that they're going to find employment for you. What kind of job can you do, sir? What could you do, sir, if they found employment for you?
I can do web surfing and web browsing, and also I can do telemarketing.
Okay, so you have skills yourself, sir, that you can use.
Yes, and I was a contractor for 26 years before I had a head injury about 2 years ago, but I can still do and be a senior estimator for any company, preferably Camelback Flooring.
Okay, okay. Well, we're sorry that you had that accident a couple of years ago, and I was really sorry, and sorry that so much has happened. At this time, I'm going to pause at this point and see if my other distinguished colleagues may have any questions for you, sir.
And I've never been in trouble before, really.
Yes, sir. This is
a long time ago.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, sir. Now, the board is prepared to go into discussion, but we want to give you an opportunity to say anything else you want to say to the board without repeating yourself. Please don't repeat yourself on anything else you would like to tell the board at this time, sir.
I'd like to apologize for anything that I have done wrong, and if I could do it again, I would have went to the parole officer first, but I just didn't think I would make it. I thought I would commit suicide before I got there.
Okay, sir. Well, now I'm going to ask that you remain quiet. The board is going into discussion, and following this discussion, the board will make a determination whether to revoke your community supervision or to place you back on supervision, sir, in the community. So just remain quiet. The board is not, we operate on the open meeting law. We want you to hear everything that the board is saying, so don't hang up. Just listen, sir, okay? Okay. Now the board is in discussion. Hans Blake, a very interesting gentleman. I think he's about 52 years of age at this time, and he's had so many challenges, and he's survived all of them, and I trust that he will survive the future and that he will be successful in the future. I do understand his situation. I'm kind of just hanging out at the moment, but right now I just feel, inasmuch as he's going to be out in June, that it might be best for him just to remain there and take whatever that small medication that he's taking there, and trust that he will not commit any acts like suicide, and so that he can get out, go to that halfway house, and be successful. But that's just my feeling, but now I'm prepared to listen to other board members who might have some insight that I don't have. Okay, I don't see any, therefore I'm just going to offer this motion at any rate, and it's going to be based upon information contained in number 2019-W0014, as well as testimony coming from the Department of Corrections, as well as testimony coming from our probable cause officer. And as well as point out the fact that he did abscond for 59 days, and I know that he had a reason for it, but he's back now safe and sound, and I think it would be best for him just to complete it. Therefore, I'm going to move to revoke community supervision at this point, and that is my motion.
Second.
Motion by myself, C.T. Wright, seconded by the Honorable Ms. Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed by the Honorable Mr. Coronis, sir, your community supervision has been revoked by the board. However, you will be released on June 12, 2019, and he hung up on me, somebody hung up on me. He will be released at that time, and we trust that he will not commit suicide or anything else between then and then, and then he can go to that halfway house and be successful. This will end this hearing, and thank you so very much, and I will call back to see if 03 is still there. Thank you.